This is Legacy Chatterbox number 106 for December 2025, narrated by Wendy Hinson and David Dridinic. The contents are as follows. Opening announcement, this table of contents, from the editor, President's Report, General Manager's Update, Chatterbox Audio, Welfare Team Report, Social Club News, Widows Social Club Meetings, of Cadets and Cessnas, Robbie Galea, Public Relations and Community Engagement Committee, Memories of My Time as CEO, Peter Lawley, Book Review, Movie Review, Kathy's Kitchen, from our readers, Vale, Continuing Our Legacy of Care, In the Garden with Ros Bailey, Announcements and Advertisements, Contact Details, Publishing and Copyright Statement, Closing Announcement. From the Editor, Legatee David Ferry. Welcome to our December Christmas edition of Chatterbox. Hasn't the year flown? And still more to go? In this issue, our front cover shows the historic change to our legacy village, which is about to take place. Our old village is in the foreground, and the new multi-story premises in the background. Our current village residents are all waiting with considerable expectations to move to their brand new, more spacious premises. This year, we have seen some major legacy staff changes, with Peter Lawley retiring and Heather Wilby becoming the general manager. Mari Brown becomes the Executive Operational Support Officer, where she very professionally helps me with Chatterbox, among her other duties. Legatee Bob Lowry has been elected Central Coast Legacy President / Chairman, taking over from Legatee Patrick Gallagher, CSC, who will be moving on to an advisory role with Legacy Australia. Patrick did some very substantial work helping to sell the old village and transit into a new Central Coast legacy for the future. Peter Lawley has written a very interesting summary of his extensive career, and Legatee Tony Morton has provided an article from the Duntroon Society newsletter, where he was selected to learn to fly while studying at the Royal Military College, Duntroon. Again, we cover our legacy fundraising activities during our 2025 Legacy Week, where our legatees, with the help of our local air cadets, raised a considerable amount of money for Central Coast Legacy. This year, the Public Relations and Community Engagement Committee has been very active under the leadership of Legatee Stephen Beetle Bailey, looking for every opportunity to promote Central Coast Legacy. Our social club activities have been ongoing, with bingo and bus trips and the Mother's Day special entertainment event, which was very appreciated by our beneficiaries. Colin Bullard, maintenance officer and our bus driver, has done a great job during the year. From the editorial staff, have a very happy Christmas and New Year. Legatee David Ferry, Editor. President's Report from Legatee Bob Lowry. The President's handover lunch was held at the Gosford Golf Club on the 20th of September, with the outgoing President, Patrick Gallagher, being thanked for his 3-year stint as President at a momentous time in the club's history. The club also wished him well in his forthcoming contribution to the review of Legacy Australia. Local members of the Australian and state government, Dr. Gordon Reid and David Meehan, also attended, along with several representatives from LA and regional clubs. The immediate past CEO, Peter Lawley, was also farewelled in this forum, given his long service to the club and his contribution to the wider legacy community. Our new GM, Heather Wilby, and her staff, along with the staff of the Gosford Golf Club, ensured that the event was well organised and catered. The new board comprises me, Senior VP Jenny Bouchier, VP Anne Taylor, Finance Director Tony Morton, and Directors Peter Tobin, Luke Hill, and Ivan Kent, along with our Company Secretary, Heather Wilby. The builders of the new Shortland Street apartments advised that they expected to complete the project and have an occupancy certificate by the end of November. However, due to other factors, it looks increasingly unlikely that the transfer of the Legacy Office and Masons Parade residence will be complete before Christmas. If not, current arrangements will continue into the new year. I, along with the Senior VP, Jenny Bouchier, and GM, Heather Wilby, attended the LA AGM in Sydney 21st to the 23rd of October. Most of the special resolutions were passed, formalising incremental changes that have been adopted over the last few years. They will now be incorporated in a revision of the LA Constitution now underway that will be circulated to clubs for comment in the new year. Attendees were also briefed on the forthcoming establishment of the LA Foundation. The next LA AGM will be held at Shaw School, Sydney, in October 2026. Meanwhile, the board, legatees and staff of our club have continued their great work in representing the interests of beneficiaries, assisting with pension and other entitlement applications, organising social events and bus trips, keeping in touch with beneficiaries, manning the booths for Legacy Week, liaising with the RSL Life Care Hub and other related community leaders and groups, and representing Legacy at numerous other events. And, of course, recording these activities in this very professional magazine, Chatterbox. We all look forward to meeting at the forthcoming Christmas events and celebrating the club's 75th anniversary next year. Legatee Bob Lowry, President.
General Manager's Update. Christmas 2025. Where did the rest of the year go? I think everyone would agree that this year has flown by, and now with Christmas just around the corner, I scratch my head as to what has happened during the year. Upon reflection, though, the year has been busy with a number of events, preparations for relocations, and farewelling staff. As mentioned in the last Chatterbox magazine, Peter Lawley made the decision to retire at the end of September. Leading up to his retirement, our legatees, beneficiaries and staff farewelled Peter with a number of events. Peter and his wife Liliana have started the next chapter in their lives with trips interstate and overseas. We wish them all the best, fulfilling their retirement plans. 2025 has been a wonderful year for me personally and professionally. Firstly, my beautiful daughter Siobhan married her long-term partner Tom in May. They have now flown the coop and enjoying married life. Siobhan works in the disability sector, whilst Tom is a primary school teacher. Secondly, my long-term dream managing this wonderful organisation became a reality in July. It is an absolute privilege and honour to assist our legatees in supporting the families of veterans across the Central Coast. I hope to meet you at the various events which we hold across the coast, or simply have a chat over the telephone. We are busy preparing our residents and staff to relocate from the Masons Parade site to our new residency at 1 Shortland Street, Point Frederick. The old saying, good things come to those who wait. Well, this move has been a long time coming. However, it's been worth the wait. The 12 new rental apartments are beautifully presented. Spacious, with all the new mod cons you would expect in a new build, providing safe, secure and dignified accommodation to our enrolled beneficiaries. On-site parking, along with two common areas for our beneficiaries to socialise, close to the waterfront, and the famous Tommy's Cafe. The Legacy Office will also be located within this complex. In addition to Shortland Street, we own 9 two-bedroom villas at 6 York Street, Point Frederick. Within this complex, we offer 6 downstairs and 3 upstairs, limited on-site parking, all in a safe and secure environment. We will continue to provide a weekly shopping bus and social trips for residents living in the Shortland and York Street accommodation, as well as our dedicated maintenance officer, providing general gardening and cleaning to both areas. The same criteria will apply. Must be an enrolled legacy beneficiary and be able to live independently. Rental fees are based on income and assets and your current situation. If you wish to discuss accommodation, please contact the Legacy Office and one of our welfare officers will visit you. All applications will be considered by our committee and placed on a waiting list, dependent upon priority and availability. All apartments are leased under the New South Wales Residential Tenancies Act, no longer operating as a retirement village. We look forward to welcoming in 2026 and a new era of Central Coast New South Wales legacy. Whilst we will continue to provide a high level of support to our beneficiaries, we are working with our legatees and staff to review our services, especially socialisation options for our beneficiaries. On behalf of our staff, we wish you and your families a very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy 2026. Heather Wilby, General Manager. Chatterbox on audio CD. Many of our enrolled beneficiaries receive copies of Chatterbox on audio CD. If you are a sight-impaired enrolled beneficiary or know someone who is, you can access an audio edition via MP3 or audio CD. If you would like an audio version of Chatterbox, please contact the Legacy Office on 4323 4977. Welfare Team Report. The fun side of senior well-being. Getting older isn't about slowing down. It's about finding new rhythms that make life brighter, healthier, and full of meaning. The good news is that what's best for well-being doesn't have to be serious or complicated. In fact, staying happy and healthy as you age often starts with things that bring joy, laughter, and a little movement. Moving for joy. Exercise doesn't need to be dull or strenuous to keep you strong and sprightly. Anything that gets you moving counts, from a gentle walk with a friend to dancing in your living room. Tai Chi, yoga, water aerobics, or even gardening can improve balance, flexibility, and mood while reducing the risk of chronic illness. The key is to pick activities that feel good. Some enjoy chair aerobics or brisk walks outdoors, while others find joy in group classes at community centres. Movement keeps the heart happy and the brain alert. Feeding the body and soul. Good nutrition is another cornerstone of well-being. This means eating colourful fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and lots of fibre to keep energy levels steady. Staying hydrated is just as important. Older adults often feel less thirsty, but still need fluids to stay healthy. Cooking at home can be a delightful activity. Try experimenting with new recipes or hosting mini cooking sessions with friends or grandchildren. Meals taste better when shared with others. Creativity keeps you young. Art isn't just for the talented, it's good for the heart and mind. Creative outlets like painting, colouring, knitting, or crafting help reduce stress and give a wonderful sense of accomplishment. Working with your hands engages the senses and boosts memory, and joining group art sessions can add another layer of fun and connection. Other brain-boosting activities like puzzles, crosswords, or musical groups stimulate mental agility and keep your cognitive skills sharp. Connection is the secret ingredient. The happiest seniors are the ones who stay connected. Meaningful social interaction, whether through legacy social club meetings, family visits, community volunteering, or group hobbies, gives life purpose, joy, and emotional strength. Being part of a social circle, chatting with neighbours, or joining a choir doesn't just lift spirits, it enhances self-esteem and can even lower the risk of depression and cognitive decline. Laughter, after all, is the best medicine. Mindfulness, gratitude, and rest. Small daily habits make a big difference. Take time each morning to stretch, breathe deeply, or list things you're grateful for. Meditation or simply reflecting on life's good moments can calm the mind and promote emotional balance. Welfare Officer Jessica Stoker. Social Club News. Sunflower Social Club. Our bus trips are held on the third Wednesday of the month and have been well attended. Wangi Wangi Workers, July. This is always very popular with our members. The club is well situated with easy access and the ladies always enjoy the selections on the menu. Belmont 16 Foot Club, August. Members were eager to revisit this club. One of the better situated clubs, easy access, beautiful location with an extensive menu. We had a great day, with our usual stop for morning coffee on the way. We were all very satisfied with the day. Yarramalong, Scarecrows. September. A trip with a difference. The morning coffee break at Heatherbrae Pies, Urimba, started the day off well, then off for a beautiful country drive through Yarramalong. This was an eye-opener. We didn't know how many forms of scarecrows there are. Quite an education to see the interpretations of scarecrows. We had a good time spotting the scarecrows, and Judith was in her element snapping photos along the way. How fortunate to have this competition coincide with our bus trip. We lunched at Wyong Bowling Club before returning back to Etalong. Christmas in July. Etalong Diggers Club. The ladies dressed up for the festivities and enjoyed a two-course lunch. It was a wonderful excuse to have another social occasion. Meetings. Our meetings are held on the first and third Fridays of the month. After the meetings, many remain in the club for a coffee and or lunch together. Meetings can include guest speakers, bingo, trivia, etc., and importantly being kept up to date with information by Jessica and the legatees. We always welcome new members. Come along and join us if you can. Socialising is so important to our well-being. Kim Cole, Community and Tourism Manager at Etalong Diggers, was a recent guest speaker. Kim gave a video presentation on her involvement with Dancing with the Stars, including fundraising for the Cancer Council. Our members happily supported Kim in her fundraising endeavours. Peter Lawley, OAM Legacy CEO. It was an honour to have him join us, listen to him speak, and it also gave us the opportunity to thank him for all he has done. Carolyn Kingsmill, U3A, gave a talk on women in war. This took us through World War I and World War II and the different roles women have played in the various services. This was very appropriate as we were celebrating War Widows Day. Carolyn is passionate about this subject and came with visual aids for her talk. A few of the ladies have been unwell or hospitalised over the past few months. We always ask for an update on how they are progressing and look forward to their return. We hope they will be back in time for the special events planned in the weeks ahead. On a sadder note, we lost our eldest member, Kitty Patterson. Kitty will always be remembered as a bundle of energy, still playing competition bowls and dancing at 100 years old. Kitty did it in style, attending an event for centenarians at Government House a few days prior to her passing. Members attended a celebration of her life at a local bowling club, without a doubt at Kitty's direction. Such a feisty lady. Well done, Kitty. We all miss you. We are all looking forward to the coming weeks, and the festive season will be upon us before we can blink. All our lives are enriched by the social contact with our legacy friends. We hope to catch up with some other legacy members at Gosford RSL in December. Best wishes and good health to you all. Tookley Social Club. Summer is almost here, and we must get used to the change from the cold and rain of winter. We've had some lovely trips on the bus with Cole and a legatee, although our August trip to the Hunter Valley was cancelled due to the very bad weather and rescheduled to November. July saw us lunching at Davistown RSL, an enjoyable day with smooth sailing and good food. September was a shorter run from Tookley to Silly Solly's, Tuggera, coffee or milkshakes next door at Dee Dee's, then onto the Salvo's store nearby. It's amazing how much time can be spent shopping for things we really didn't need. Lunch followed at the Tall Timbers pub, delicious and for most of us the right size meal. In October, the plan was to go to the macadamia farm at Madawi, north of Newcastle, but it was decided it was too far. So we went instead to Lexi's on the beach for coffee at Stockton, then back to the Boolaroo Bowling Club for lunch. The slight detour after showed us the Costco store, enormous. But we all decided as singles we didn't need to buy in bulk. I did note that there is a Costco service station close by, which was selling E10 for only $1.487 a litre, but maybe a bit far to travel, even for such cheap fuel. Our meetings are on the first Monday of the month at 10 a.m, except when, as in October, it is a public holiday. Meetings are well attended, with the bus bringing some ladies from Gosford and staying for lunch. A few ladies have moved to be closer to family. Some have health issues and can't attend meetings or outings, but we have a good grapevine. We always make contact with each other, so someone always knows if there's a problem. We are looking forward to Christmas celebrations, our own, and then in December when all widows in the north will gather at the Airy for the Legacy Christmas lunch. We hope to see you there. Wattle Social Club. Welcome to our Christmas edition. How quickly is this year going? In July, we all enjoyed a Christmas in July feast at Erina League's Club. The July bus trip saw us visit the Tookley Art Gallery with lots of nice gift ideas to contemplate. August bus trip to Asquith Golf Club got changed to Barara RSL for lunch. September to Kincumber Post Office Cafe for a nice morning tea, then on to the War Museum at the entrance. The museum was very interesting, with lots of donated historical artefacts on display. Next stop, the pantry at Forrester's Beach for lunch. A pretty venue with the purple wisteria against the white buildings was very spectacular. Everyone enjoyed their lunch. The highlight of this year, at Kathy's suggestion, was the visit to the Laycock Street Theatre in October. A four-piece band and three ladies on vocals sang songs we all knew, like Summertime, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, and Stupid Cupid, to name a few. It was nice to hear the old songs. After the show, it was lunch at Gosford RSL. What a fantastic day. We all felt so special. We had a final visit from Peter Lawley before he retired. A special cheerio to all our members who have been ill. June Withy celebrated her 99th birthday in October. Thank you to Karen, who made the delicious cakes for our War Widows morning tea. Special thanks to our legatees, Kathy, Karen and David, being at our meetings and calling bingo. Legatees who help out on our bus trips, Colin, our bus driver, who organises our morning tea drinks and helps us any way he can. All the office staff who do all the organising for our special days. You give us functions to look forward to, enriching our lives. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a healthy, prosperous New Year. The Entrance Long Jetty Social Club. I hope everyone is enjoying the sunshine. Christmas is getting close. Our members were treated to a delicious meal and show for Christmas in July at the Diggers. Our July bus trip was to Maitland Bowling Club. August was to Mangrove Mountain with a stop at Heatherbrae Pies for morning tea. All these mouth-watering pies and cakes. Next stop was Mangrove Dam Viewing Area. A beautiful day to take in the scenic views of the water and bushland. Then it was on to Mangrove Mountain Golf Club for lunch. With big picture windows, it was great to take in the views over the evergreen bush landscape. We had a very relaxing lunch. Colin and Rick looked after us. A super day. September, all aboard, we headed to Moonee Moonee Workers Club with legatee Karen and Cole, where we had morning tea and an early lunch. Mixed opinions on our lunch. We always look forward to our bus trips, wherever they take us. Our October bus trip firstly stopped at Swansea Bakery for morning tea. There was such a variety of food to choose from. Colin organised all our drinks. The pies and cakes looked so appetising. Yum yum. After which we did a scenic drive around the lake to Tallora before returning back to the 16-foot sailing club for lunch. The club takes advantage of the beautiful views over the lake. So good to enjoy lunch together in a friendly environment. Good to see Pat Kerslake back at meetings. Thank you to the staff and legatees who make all these events possible for us to enjoy. It is always appreciated. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and best wishes for health and happiness for the new year. Rosemary Social Club. Spring has sprung. How nice after all the rain and cold. We have welcomed a few new ladies to our group, with members now totalling 23, and we all have new name tags. Important to me, at least. Know the face, can't remember the name. Some of our ladies have been unwell, so we wish them all the best for recovery. We had the pleasure of the now-retired CEO of Central Coast Legacy, Peter Lawley, attending our August meeting, and were able to present him with a card and a bottle of Legacy whiskey. Having been with Legacy for the last 15 years, I can assure you that he has done a great job. Guest speakers in August were from Wyong SES, who gave very useful information and handed out lots of leaflets. Like the Fieries of May, they reiterated the importance of preparedness and having the Hazards Near Me app. They also installed the app, which gives an exact location on a mobile phone, although I've yet to master it. Our August bus trip was cancelled due to Cole, the bus driver, being sick, but has been rescheduled for October. September saw us visit Allison Homestead in Wyong, which has a fascinating collection of old historical items from the local area. We were able to have a lovely morning tea there too. The grounds look great due to the marvellous work of volunteers. From there, it was only a short drive for lunch at the Wyong Bowling Club, perched beside the Wyong River. At our October meeting, Legatee Carolyn organised a special morning tea of scones, jam and cream, as it was War Widows Day on the 19th. We also organised that, as our November meeting falls on Remembrance Day, we would forego the meeting and just gather for lunch in the bistro at the club. The October trip saw us drive to Silly Solly's, nothing over $5, then on to Shelley Beach Golf Club. Social bus report. The months are flying by, as well as the bus trips, but the quality of the trips, the legatees and the passengers has not. The same cannot be said for the bus driver's jokes to start the trip. Lunchtime trips of note over the last couple of months were Wyong Bowling Club, Belmont 16-footers, Mangrove Mountain Golf Club, Barara Fish and Chips, with a ride of Barara Ferry thrown in, Gosford RSL, and the Pantry Foresters Beach, with special thanks to Legatee Priya for the awesome food. We also visited some fantastic places of interest, which were the Allison Homestead, great scones, Long Jetty RSL War Museum, very informative, the Yarramalong Scarecrow Competition Tour, Laycock Street Theatre to see Morning Melodies, a great show by the Roslins, Vintage Harmony Queens. Most social clubs have had a shopping visit at the popular Silly Solly's at Tuggerah, $5 discount shop, and with a great coffee shop next door, some have also visited the new Salvo's Warehouse at Tuggerah and the Sarah Lee shop at Niagara Park. The take-up of Legacy Shouting Morning Tea has been a great success, and most of the groups now know the routine of putting their name, type of drink and what size down on the morning tea sheet. Another idea that has been implemented is that myself becomes a member of the club that we are going to for lunch, thus allowing the ladies to get food and drinks at members' prices, not visitors' prices, which at some clubs is quite a saving. Unfortunately, sometimes bus trips have to be cancelled. Usually it's to do with the weather and being unsafe to travel, which happened earlier in the year, and sometimes, well, I hope it never happens again, the bus driver, disclaimer the author, when he had his other hat on as a maintenance officer, lost a fight with a crowbar the day before a bus trip, so had to retire hurt and was unable to drive the next day. My apologies to the ladies, and I hope there isn't a round two. Neither does the boss. As always, the bus trips don't happen without the support of the wonderful legatees, and I would like to thank them for their ongoing support. I would also like to thank Marie, who organises all the bus trip outings. She makes my job so much easier. Lastly, I would like to thank the ladies' groups for the ongoing support and patronage. It's an absolute privilege to be part of their day and hopefully put a smile on their face. Disclaimer, the bus jokes are not guaranteed to make you laugh, but at least get a reaction good or bad. Please remember that when reading the following joke. A friend of mine got a job as a bus driver because he was good at telling people where to go. See you soon on an upcoming bus trip. Colin.
Widows Social Club Meetings. Sunflower Social Club meets at Etalong Beach Diggers Club on the first and third Friday of each month at 10 a.m. with a monthly social outing on the third Wednesday of each month. Wattle Social Club meets at Erina Leagues Club on the first and third Thursday of the month at 10:15 a.m. to 12 noon with a social outing on the fourth Friday of the month. The Entrance Long Jetty Social Club meet at Diggers at the entrance on the third Monday of each month at 10 a.m. and a monthly social outing is on the first Tuesday of each month. Rosemary Social Club meet at the Airy, Tookley, on the second Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. with a social outing on the fourth Wednesday of the month. Tookley Social Club meets at the Airy, Tookley, on the first Monday of the month at 10 a.m. with a social outing on the third Thursday of the month. For further information about our social clubs, please call 4323 4977. Of Cadets and Cessnas by Wynne W. L. Fowles, 1966. Newsletter 1, 2020, recounted the stories of RMC graduates attending Point Cook in the 1930s for flying training. In the 1960s, things were different. Six fortunate first-class cadets were selected each year for flying training at the Canberra Aero Club. Selection was competitive and widely sought, although members of the first 15 or first 18 mysteriously missed out, at least in my year. Trainee pilots were very much second-string sportsmen. In 1966, I was one of them. The six of us trained on Canberra Aero Club's four Cessna 172s. They were VH, CBB, CBC, CBD, and the newish CBE. We were told that CBA had come to an unfortunate end in an earlier year, but nobody seemed willing to talk about it, except to say that CBE was its replacement. It seemed wise not to inquire further. Our first instructor was Major Alf A. Argent, 1948, who was an accomplished pilot and a good, if occasionally abrasive, teacher. We called him Sir because he was a major and we weren't, but he kept the rank stuff to a minimum while brooking no nonsense when it came to aviation matters. Perhaps he was the first to tell me that there were old pilots and bold pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots. On day one, after pointing out the important bits such as propeller, engine and wings, Alf bundled three of us into the four-place cabin while he took the left-hand front seat. After he mumbled something into his microphone, we heard the tower say, "Clear for takeoff," which we duly did. But Alf was not the one who did so. As we taxied out, Alf told the occupant of the right-hand seat, Ray Leroy, to take control and take us off. Ray was more than nonplussed. Meanwhile, the two of us in the back seats squirmed helplessly and realised it was too late to tell our families the words we wanted on our gravestones. But our fellow novice did a great job as Alf calmly talked him through it. We gently ascended into the blue Canberra sky and became more interested in the wonder of flight than concerns about gravestones. I've never really lost that sense of wonder. Going solo after a few flying hours with an instructor remains one of life's highlights. Pilot training had other advantages. As one of those cadets who attracted extra drills in earlier Duntroon years and significant stoppage of leaving in this one, I was able to maintain my sanity by going flying almost whenever I liked, on weekends in particular, despite stoppage. The freedom to do so was a lifesaver. But there were heart-stopping moments. Our principal flying training area was over the Tuggeranong Valley in Canberra South until about mid-1966. That's when Tuggeranong's sheep paddocks gave way to new suburbs, starting with Canberra. Pesky Cessnas were banished to a brand new training area to Canberra's west, where the population was still sparse. At about 7 a.m, on a bright Saturday morning, I climbed aboard VHCBB and was the very first to use it. After practicing for an hour or so, well, west of Canberra, between Hall and Murrumbateman, it was time to return. I dutifully radioed Canberra Tower and was told to track from the west and proceed downwind to then turn and land on the main runway. As I flew over the saddle adjacent to Mount Ainslie, the radio erupted. "Charlie, Bravo, Charlie, make immediate left turn," shouted an alarmed air traffic controller. Air traffic controllers were never alarmed, so I looked around for the errant Cessna as I proceeded, descending downwind. The call was repeated, even more alarmingly, immediately before the only view through my windscreen was the belly of an Ansett F-27 Fokker Friendship, which was standing on its right wing as it made a turn that friendships were probably not designed for. An angry tower instructed Charlie Bravo Charlie to report in when on the ground. Shortly afterwards, I routinely radioed in as Charlie Bravo Bravo before landing, so perhaps the tower may then have realised it had radioed the wrong call sign, but the anger was still there. Our exchange when I phoned from the Aero Club landline was terse. The air traffic controller wanted to throw the book at me. I asked him to replay his tape. Thank heaven Canberra Airport in 1966 used tape, which took a minute or two. No disciplinary action resulted. Life is full of lessons. That near disaster on my first use of the new flying training area was one of them. The tower should have radioed the correct call sign and, earlier, been more specific about where it wanted me. I was on the wrong side of the main runway as the Ansett aircraft was taking off. But I was far from blameless. I should have asked for more specific instructions. "From the west" was too vague, and I should have said so. Additionally, I should have realised from the absence of radio traffic that Charlie Bravo Charlie was not in the air, nor were Delta and Echo. That left me, in Bravo, as the only Charlie Bravo in the sky. I should have reacted accordingly, instead of looking around for a recalcitrant Cessna that wasn't there. Perhaps the best lesson was that people in positions of authority, including me in later life, don't necessarily know everything about their field of expertise, or they don't communicate their expertise effectively, meaning they can and do make avoidable, even fatal mistakes. But mistakes can be fun, albeit in a black sort of way. Fellow trainee Richard Lamb and I, together with our instructor, not Alf Argent, did a navigation exercise later in 1966 from Canberra to Mooloolaba and return. My father lived at Mooloolaba, so we were assured of free board and lodging, always important to impecunious cadets. We left Canberra early on a Saturday morning and landed in the late afternoon on the long-gone short sand strip at Mooloolaba. My father drove us home, where step-mum Julie plied us with food while he plied us with rum and coke. Knowing it would be an alcoholic night, I went to bed early. The other two did not. I held a restricted private pilot's license, PPL at the time, so I could legally take passengers, but with some restrictions. The weekend navigation exercise was a step towards an unrestricted PPL. Waking early on the Sunday, I took my two much younger brothers for a quick flight around the Sunshine Coast. They enjoyed it, but our father did not, possibly because he thought with all three of his sons in the same light aircraft at the same time, his dreams of succession may be unfulfilled. We departed Mooloolaba for Canberra about 8 a.m., loaded, thanks to Julie, with fresh pineapple slices and chicken pieces to fortify us on the flight. The pineapple and chicken were delicious, and the flight was uneventful until the last leg. I was asleep in the back seat when I dreamt that I could hear a disembodied voice, but I wasn't dreaming. Waking, I realised it was Canberra Tower calling us. We were over Lake George, not far from the airport, but neither front seat occupant was responding. They were not deaf. They were in a sounder sleep than I'd been. Fortunately, the Cessna was well trimmed, so was flying straight and level, which it continued to do while they awoke at my insistence and then responded to the tower's third, fourth, fifth radio call. We landed safely, and I doubt either has touched rum and coke since. Richard Lamb claims he was asleep for 120 seconds max, while our instructor slept for hours. Of course. After graduation, I had to pay for my own flying. I did so briefly at Parafield, Adelaide, in 1967, but the price rose from $8 an hour to a dizzying $10 an hour, while other calls on my finances intervened, so I grounded myself. The 2025 price for hiring a Cessna 172 is about $350 an hour. Cadet flying training continued in 1967, although not as effectively as in our year. One 1967 participant said he was not allowed to fly until May and that most participants dropped out of a poorly conducted program. I'm unaware of any flying training in later RMC years. Perhaps the 1968 formation of the Australian Army Aviation Corps, together with Duntroon's new university focus, were factors in the program's apparent demise. Later, in 1976, I first looped the loop. That was in a Tiger Moth owned by my Monagita, Victoria neighbour, a TAA pilot, with me as passenger. 4 decades after that, I looped the loop again off Caloundra in a 1940s Boeing Stearman, thanks to a good friend who also takes me flying occasionally in his Cirrus or his helicopter. Even in these latter years, flying in a small aircraft remains good fun, and it started at Duntroon 6 decades ago, for which I am most grateful. Wynne Fowles graduated from the RMC into the Royal Australian Army Service Corps in 1966. He transferred to the newly created Royal Australian Corps of Transport in 1973 while a student at the Royal Military College of Science, Shrivingham, UK. His 28-year Army career included command postings in most states and in South Vietnam. He attended the Australian Staff College in 1980. Wynne's first ever staff posting was to Canberra for a few months in 1981 as a lieutenant colonel, a brief interlude before his appointment to the Army School of Transport as CO, followed by 2 years on the faculty of what is now the US Army Sustainment University. Later, director-level Canberra roles focused on logistics support and administrative efficiency, including the Major, the Defence Force, and the Community Study for the Minister for Defence. His final appointment was Director of Movement and Transport, Army. Subsequent honorary roles included Representative Colonel Commandant for the RACT during his civilian career in public transport, and later as a consultant on leadership, logistics, and productivity issues. Before retiring, he was a Fellow of the Australian Institute of Management and a Fellow of the Chartered Institute of Logistics and Transport. Wynne is active in Rotary, the University of the Third Age, and the Defence Force Welfare Association. Picture caption. Five of the six trainee pilots from the class of 1966 at their 50th anniversary luncheon in Duntroon House in December 2016. Tony A.J. Morton, Richard R.J. Lamb, Ray R.J. Leroy, Wynne W.L. Fowles, and Richard R.P. Knox. The sixth cadet was Peter P.L. McGuinness, who died in 2003. End caption. Robbie Galea. A big hello to a not-so-new kid on the block, introducing family beneficiary Robbie Galea. Robbie was first enrolled with Central Coast Legacy in June of 2007 after the passing of his veteran dad, Eto, and remained with his mum, Janine, until her residential placement early 2010. At this time, Robbie was taken in by his sister, Teresa, and brother-in-law, Ray, providing all care, love and supports. As the days progressed, he affectionately referred to Teresa as Nana, and their bonds deepened. This connection remained unbroken until, sadly, Ray passed in 2021, and Teresa's own health, now 80 years old, suffered, resulting in Robbie's permanent placement to a wonderfully attentive group home in Wyong, auspiced by permanent staffing with two other male residents, Brendan and Dwayne. Over recent times, Brendan and Robbie have developed a close friendship and are rarely found apart when home. Robbie suffers with Down syndrome, poor hearing, has difficulty with speech, and has had his teeth removed because of a quite enlarged tongue. This in no way, though, affects his interest in food. Although he has difficulty with learning, Robbie responds very well to direction and is an eager participant in most any activity. He will become involved with small cleaning tasks and showers with supervision. His enthusiasm is almost tangible through a love of music and dancing. He can air guitar with the best and can become the centre of attention, animating moves without notice, particularly for Michael Jackson, ABBA, or simply any rock and roll music. He also enjoys wrestling and can spend hours in his own room singing to himself, playing with his small cars, taking things apart and talking to himself. Although he may pop into bed early, dependent upon distractions which will keep him up, he's an early riser and enthusiastic from word go with a smile to warm any heart. Like most of us, he can have frustration moments and finds peace in little wanders alone within safe confines outside. If anyone was born to hug another, he's life's epitome of this, and will offer these without warning and indiscriminately amongst any and all he recognises and trusts. Though each week his group home has him well involved with both in-house and day programs, a particular favourite is his bowling days. Despite Robbie's many and varied inclusions, family remains strongly connected to his life. Both his brother, Rudy, and sister-in-law, June, who now manage all finances, and his sister, Carmen, and brother-in-law, Paul, visit most weeks to include him in odd days out, as well as supporting through some health appointments. Robbie has NDIS funding. Over the years, Robbie has attended many Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy Event Day celebrations with his family, beneficiary friends, and is well thought of by all. We're most proud of you, Robbie. You're a delight to spend time with. Welfare Officer Parsons.
Public Relations and Community Engagement Committee. Legacy Friendship Day. On Thursday, the 30th of October, with the sun shining after a wet week, a group of 18 legatees and partners boarded the riverboat Postman at Brooklyn for a four-hour trip on the magnificent Hawkesbury River. The riverboat Postman provides a postal and delivery service to water access-only residences on the Hawkesbury River and includes Milson's Passage, Bar Point, and Danga Island. Anzac biscuits, tea and coffee was served as we left Brooklyn and headed for Danga Island, then under the road and rail bridges joining Newcastle and Sydney, up the river with our deliveries and a delicious lunch and a great commentary by the skipper. Such a great trip and so much enjoyed by all. The Coastline News Team. The Coastline News Team, Jessica Steens, Olivia Arago and Madeline Johnston, are final year communications students from the University of Newcastle. Their project, Coastline News, is a student-produced video series that aims to highlight inspiring local stories along the Central Coast train line. Each episode explores a story in a new suburb, focusing on individuals, organisations and initiatives that are creating meaningful change within the community. Coastline's aim is to share the local stories of the Central Coast. In one of their upcoming episodes, the team shines a spotlight on Central Coast legacy and its partnership with BOMAS, Bikers of Military Ancestry and Service, a motorcycle club committed to supporting the families of veterans. What began as a small group donating Christmas hampers has evolved into a network of passionate riders who raise funds and awareness for legacy's important work. The team interviewed Ty Coates, president of BOMAS, and Mary, a legacy beneficiary recipient of the BOMAS fundraising. RSL and Legacy Australia partner to support veteran community. 22nd of September 2025, media release. Two of Australia's largest and longest established veteran organisations have signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, to work more closely together to benefit veterans and their families. The Returned and Services League of Australia, RSL, and Legacy Australia today formed a strategic partnership to develop and foster close collaboration nationally in advocacy in support of veterans and their families. RSL National President Greg Millick and Legacy Australia Chairman Wayne McNee said the alliance had been formed at this time particularly to support the implementations of the recommendations flowing from the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide. Both the RSL and Legacy will seek a leadership role and support each other's endeavours on the Standing Committee established to advance the implementation process. Greg Mellick and Wayne McNee said the two nationally recognised member-based service organisations acknowledged the historical and profound role that each has in caring for veterans and their families. Greg Mellick said, RSL Australia is committed to the welfare of Australian Defence Force ADF members, both serving and veterans discharged into the community. RSL Australia has a recognised concern for the well-being of the families of these service personnel, and from time to time may seek the support of Legacy Australia. Wayne McNee said, Legacy Australia is committed to the care of the families of veterans who have given their lives or their health in service to their country. In situations where the veteran may still be present but is not able to support their family, Legacy Australia may seek the support of RSL Australia. While recognising the different positioning of each party in the veterans community, both are committed to a relationship based upon common goals and the sharing of resources and information, they said. Under the MOU, RSL Australia and Legacy Australia will work collaboratively to ensure the best possible outcomes for veterans and their families. The MOU identifies areas of coordination to ensure the services provided by each are understood and collaborative, and points to opportunities for maximising the expertise and resources available to each organisation at state and regional levels.
Memories of my time as CEO. Peter Lawley, Chief Executive Officer. I commenced at Brisbane Water, New South Wales Legacy, on the 8th of November 2010. My career prior to this role included New South Wales Operations Manager for RSL Care, Queensland, responsible for the operations of New South Wales-based aged care and retirement villages for this large ex-service organisation, 4 years. CEO of Newcastle Lake Macquarie Ex-Services Retirement Care Services for 6 years. Prior to that time, I was a senior New South Wales Health Service executive at hospitals such as Royal North Shore, Manly Mona Vale, Gladesville, Macquarie, Ryde and Hornsby. My career started as a management trainee at Gosford Hospital in 1980. My career progression was assisted through obtaining qualifications in accounting, Bachelor of Health Science, Management and Transformational Leadership at RMIT. All studies were completed as I worked in various roles, and at the time, raising a young family was a time management challenge particularly as I was a commuter for some 20 years between Gosford and Sydney's northern suburbs. I believe the career I had forged provided me with the wonderful opportunity that arose back in my hometown to become CEO of Legacy. I was also well aware of the services Legacy provided, as I am the son of a World War II veteran, and my wonderful mother became a War Widows Guild member and Legacy beneficiary in 1988. In my time, there has been many changes and challenges, all of which have been aimed at continually improving the support and services Legacy on the Central Coast provides, and I was fortunate to also be involved in Legacy nationally whilst CEO. How do I explain these changes? Well, the simplest is a timeline of the changes in business operations and governance, aged care, supported accommodation, retirement village, and welfare and advocacy. Business operations and governance, 2011. Business IT systems and payroll introduced, 2011. Governance policy developed and implemented, 2012. Business operations reorganisation, centralised support services management, organisation policy and financial reporting. Finance Investment Risk Management Committee established and Aged Care Compliance Committee. Retirement Village policies and contracts developed to meet Retirement Village Act. Commence Legacy Australia Aged Care Representative Role. 2013. Function catering by Legacy staff commenced, previously external contractor. Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Commission compliance, complete review and update company policies. Long-serving staff recognition event conducted. 2014. Developed and implemented 5-year strategic plan. Legacy Cottage, Mason's Parade, transfers to private rental arrangement. December. Commence confidential negotiations and evaluation on aged care sale. 2015. Administration reorganisation. Delete manager finance and reception roles. CEO appointed company secretary. Implement new IT solutions for finance and business operations. 2016. Merge of Legacy Club and Company Constitution. Appointed Legacy Australia Incorporated National Advocacy Committee. 2017. Negotiated $100,000 donation to Scholarship Fund. Revised strategic plan from 2014 to 2025. Introduced BWL Staff Employment Agreement. 2018. Acting Chief Executive of Legacy Australia Incorporated from January to July 2018. 2019. Revised strategic plan for 2019 to 2025. 2020. Introduced social media marketing strategy. COVID-19 coronavirus risk management strategy and change to operations. Annual business plan linked to budget introduced. Developed COVID-19 safe action plan, including return of restricted events. 2021. Scholarships move to manage by staff from external AFCAT with 9 awarded. CEO appointed to board of Gosford Erina Business Chamber. COVID impact from June to November. 100% beneficiaries contacted 2021. 2022. Transition all information technology systems to cloud-based. CEO appointed to Board of Directors, Alino Living. Elected as President, Gosford Erina Business Chamber. 2023. Constitution update, name change to Central Coast New South Wales Legacy endorsed. 2024. Official name change to Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. CEO elected as Director, Gosford RSL Club. 2025. Negotiated head lease 13 units and purchase unit 1 Shortland Street, Point Frederick. Subdivision of York Street units from Mason's Parade site. Sale of 51 to 57 and 59 Mason's Parade, $18.65 million to Legacy Views Proprietary Limited. Change of Constitution, V6. General Manager role to replace CEO. Aged Care, 2012 and 2015. Aged Care Facilities Accreditation by Department Health and Ageing, 2012. Aged Care Clinical Reorganisation, Delete Business Manager Role. Aged Care Finding Reforms Introduced. 2013, Legacy Aged Care Wyoming Renovation, including Fire Safety Compliance. Nora Head Dementia Specific Wing developed. 2014, Change of Aged Care Bonds and Retentions to Accommodation Deposits. Obtained Marketing Grant for Legacy Aged Care. 2015, August sale of aged care facilities at Nora Head and Wyoming to Aurum Proprietary Limited. All aged care staff transferred and residents remained in facilities. Reduction of 112 staff from Brisbane Water Legacy. Supported accommodation, Retirement Village. 2010, 82 residents in two sites, Umina and Point Frederick. 2012, resident barbecues, happy hours and events commenced in Legacy Hall. 2014, sale of Umina units, residents relocated to Point Frederick units. Legacy Cottage, Mason's Parade, transfers to private rental arrangement. 2016, minor capital project, Doug Fagan Lounge refurbished, $35,000. 2017, commenced Mason's Parade Village Redevelopment Master Planning. 2018, schematic design for village redevelopment prepared. Commenced village residential plan for vacancies. 2019, revision of scope for village redevelopment. Members endorsed revised village redevelopment and sale of land. 2020, New South Wales Government Department of Planning Design Reference Group commenced for redevelopment. 2021, development application of village complete and lodged. 2022, ministerial approval for development application received. 2023, negotiated commencement and evaluation of Lot 2 land sale process. Resolution not to proceed with redevelopment of village, development cost increase from 2020 to 2023 by $17 million. 2025, negotiated head lease 13 units and purchase unit 1 Shortland Street, Point Frederick. 2025, subdivision of York Street units from Mason's Parade site. 2025, sale of 51 to 57 and 59 Mason's Parade, $18.65 million to Legacy Views Proprietary Limited. Welfare and Advocacy. 2011, Brisbane Water, New South Wales Legacy 60th Anniversary Garden Party held at Mason's Parade. 2012, Legacy Olympics held at Gosford RSL. Implement Legacy Manager Beneficiary Database, replacing manual notes. 2013, Queen's Coronation Garden Party held, 220 attending at Mason's Parade site. 2014, Legacy Empire Games held at Gosford RSL. Welfare Operations Restructure, delete Welfare Manager role. 2015, Welfare Operations Reorganisation, delete Social Coordinator. Established Widows Support Clubs, support structure through Welfare Club. Inaugural Combined Widows Club Christmas in July functions held over 3 days in Legacy Hall, continued to 2023, excluding COVID period. 2016, inaugural Mother's Day High Tea event held over 2 days in Legacy Hall. These events continued through to 2023, with a hiatus during COVID for some. Combined Widows Club Christmas in July function held. Legacy Olympics held in Legacy Hall. NRL Corporate Box for Family and Disabled Beneficiaries. 2017, DVA grant for new bus received, $107,000. Restructure to welfare team, added one new position. 2020, inaugural Legacy Race Day at the Entertainment Grounds. These events continued through to 2023, with a hiatus during COVID for some. COVID safe events conducted September to December for beneficiaries. Christmas events for beneficiaries and legatees held in December after COVID. 2021, successful Mother's Day high teas held pre-COVID. 2022, Legacy Race Day returns after COVID. 2023, NRL Corporate Box for Family and Disabled Beneficiaries. 2023, Legacy Centenary Torch Relay, Gosford. 2024, Legacy Race Day at the Entertainment Grounds. Legacy beneficiary events relocated to external venues, Mother's Day, Christmas in July, and Christmas functions due to hall closure. All of the above activities have been completed with the wonderful support of our legatees, whom I have had the privilege of working for over these 15 years. There have been many who have had such a significant impact on my role as CEO. Our board members and the chairman I have developed a long-term respect and admiration for, who have supported me through all the challenges and changes we have implemented. I'm greatly appreciative of your unwavering support and guidance. To all legatees who, through the little things to the larger activities, have established this legacy club, I believe to be one of the most supportive and caring for all of our beneficiaries in the country. To the wide number of staff I have worked with, There have been some changes. I believe all staff's empathy and commitment to our cause is one of the great strengths of both Brisbane Water and now Central Coast Legacy. Staff have made my role pleasurable, even during some of the most challenging times. The greatest enjoyment I have had is seeing the smiling faces of our legacy beneficiaries and legatees as they have left our many events. One of my initial goals was to ensure we looked after the social aspects of life for our widows, family members, and our disabled beneficiaries, and firmly believe we have excelled in that area. I leave in the belief that I have been able to develop and implement major changes that ensure the long-term viability and improved services for our legacy family, both on the Central Coast and nationally. In my career, this role has been the most enjoyable and satisfying. I look forward to my retirement years, spending leisure time with my greatest supporter and best friend, my gorgeous wife Liliana. We are fortunate to have adult children who have given us our greatest joys, our 7 grandchildren. We now will have more time to spend with the grandkids as Nonna and Papa. I will continue to keep my brain in gear through my director roles at Gosford RSL and Alino Living and be able to play golf and tennis when I feel like it, travel this wide country, along with some more overseas adventures, which Lily and I have been fortunate to have already done over the past 20 years. Thank you all. Peter Lawley, OAM.
Book Review. Foreign Correspondence, A Pen Pal's Journey from Down Under to All Over, Geraldine Brooks. Geraldine Brooks was born in a working-class suburb in Sydney, New South Wales. As an adolescent, she longed to discover the vivid place where history happens and culture comes from. She gathers pen pals from around the world who share their lives in the Middle East, Europe, and America. Her imagination takes her to all the accounts of life in these far-off countries. Geraldine began an internship at the Sydney Morning Herald after graduating from the University of Sydney. She wins a scholarship to the Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University in New York City. Her career as a foreign correspondent begins with the Wall Street Journal. She reports on wars and famines in the Middle East, Bosnia, and Africa. Returning to Australia, she rediscovers her old letters in the basement of her parents' home and embarks on a journey that takes her on the most meaningful assignment of her career. Her search takes her to Israel, Arabia, France, and the US. One by one, she finds men and women whose lives have been shaped by war and hatred, fame and notoriety, and the ravages of mental illness. Candid, thoughtful, and compelling. The Little Italian Hotel, Phaedra Patrick. When a relationship expert's own marriage falls apart, she invites 4 strangers to Italy for a vacation of healing and second chances. Ginny Splinter is sure her husband Adrian will love the special trip to Italy she's planned for their 25th wedding anniversary. Adrian surprises her with his own plan, a divorce. Ginny impulsively invites 4 listeners on her radio show to join her in Italy. From hiking the hills of Bologna to riding a gondola in Venice to sharing stories around the dining table at the Little Italian Hotel, they all embark on a vacation of healing. However, Adrian starts to rethink their relationship and Ginny must decide what to do. An unexpected stranger may hold the key to a very different future. The Talented Mrs. Greenway, Tia Cooper. A work of historical fiction, Tia Cooper does a brilliant job of bringing to life the intriguing tale of Mary Greenway, wife of colonial architect Francis Greenway, wife, mother, architect, and forger. By the time Mary arrives at Sydney Port, she has 3 children and high hopes of a new beginning with her second husband, Francis Greenway. Her life with her first husband was a disaster, and Mary has the desire to make amends. She is an intriguing figure whose hardships bring out her strengths and determination. Mary is a woman of great resource. She soon sets about moulding a life for her family in this new colony. When she is befriended by Elizabeth Macquarie, it seems fate is finally smiling on her with the promise of a better life in her grasp. With past secrets to keep and betrayals on the brink of discovery, the stakes are higher than ever. With Mary's grip on her new life slipping, will her past lies come back to haunt her? Last one out, Jane Harper. 5 years ago, on the eve of his 21st birthday, Sam Crowley disappeared. His car was found at the turnoff to three deserted houses, a weatherboard farmhouse, an ivy cottage, a stone bungalow. Sam had entered all three. His footprints were in the dust covering the floors. There was no sign of what had happened to him. 5 years later, his mother has returned for his annual memorial. She finds a virtual ghost town. Someone in Carol Ann Ridge knows what happened to Sam, and his parents want answers. Pamela Morton. Movie review. Both Karen and I have been great fans of the Downton Abbey TV series, 1900s to 1930s, and then the full movies, which have culminated into the latest and last movie, Downton Abbey, the grand finale. Watching the latest film in the luxury of the Hoyts Theatre at Erina, we were both fully satisfied with this last film, which portrayed the Crawley family and their loyal staff and family friends in all its 1930s glory. Apart from the continuing family story with its ups and downs, there were tremendous scenes showing dinners, ballroom dances, and the races at Royal Ascot, all set to a 1930s world. In the film, the Crawley family faces various challenges, including financial troubles and social scandals. Mary Crawley finds herself embroiled in a public scandal, while the family must adapt to the changing world around them. The film features themes of loyalty, love, and then the struggle to maintain tradition in a rapidly evolving society. One of our great loves of the whole series is the wonderful connection between the downstairs servants and the Crawley family, which grows and grows as the series progresses. You become one of the family. The 1930s is a time of fascinating technology breakthroughs within the United Kingdom and the world. Cars are getting better, trains are going faster, airlines and shipping companies have started, and living standards are reaching new levels just before the outbreak of World War II. Finally, I must mention the brilliance of all the chosen actors, especially the late Maggie Smith, who all helped to make the series into one of the best classics ever made for TV and film. Legatee David Ferry. Kathy's Kitchen. Simple and delicious guacamole. Ingredients. 1 peeled and de-seeded avocado. 1/4 of a finely chopped red or white onion. 1/2 a tomato, de-seeded and finely chopped, or 4 to 5 small tomatoes, de-seeded and finely chopped. Small handful of coriander leaves, finely chopped. 1/2 a lime, juice. Method. 1. Mash flesh of avocado until smooth. Add onion, tomato, coriander and lime juice and stir until combined. Season with freshly ground pepper and serve with corn chips. 2. All seasonings and quantities can be adjusted to taste. 3. Enjoy. From our readers to Central Coast Legacy. I recently answered my door to a gentleman legatee who handed me a bag of gifts for Mother's Day. Such a lovely surprise. My name was on a tag and some very useful, thoughtful and lovingly put together gifts. I so appreciate this, and my thanks for always being around for the past almost 50 years. J.B. To the President of Legacy Central Coast, New South Wales, thank you for the delicious lunch our Legacy Sunflower Group enjoyed at Diggers when we celebrated Christmas in July recently. We had a delightful day and enjoyed the lunch very much. On behalf of the Sunflower Ladies, thank you. Yours sincerely, D.B. Dear Peter, a big thank you for your leadership throughout the years. Our ladies are so grateful for the support and social opportunities that Legacy provides. Our group members have the opportunity to attend 2 meetings plus a day bus trip monthly, along with the various special events held during the year. We look forward to the planned activities and company on these occasions. We have also enjoyed guest speakers and the flowers on special birthdays. It is remarkable to think how Legacy functions and how increasingly stronger it has grown over the years. These things happen because of a wonderful group of people who have given their time and put our welfare first. Well done to you for leading the staff and legatees to achieve these goals. Thank you. Enjoy your retirement, and we all hope you will find time to visit us in the future. From all the sunflowers. Dear Legatee David Harris, firstly, thank you for the kind birthday wishes for the 5th of July. It is so lovely to be remembered when you are in your 80s. My very best wishes to all legatees and staff at Central Coast New South Wales Legacy, and God bless you all. Kind regards, M.S. Dear Cheryl, I sincerely send a big thank you for the beautiful flowers you brought to me. Still enjoying most of them 2 weeks on, we'll try and send a photo. Also to Central Coast Legacy for the lovely welcome. Hopefully when Peter rests in peace, I will have the time to be of some help to the CC Legacy family. Cheryl, I truly appreciate your support, knowing I am able to contact you if I have any problems. Kindest regards, RB. To all the Central Coast Legacy staff, a huge thank you for my Mother's Day gifts. Such a variety, and I could use them all. It was so exciting going through the bags. Thank you to all who went out and shopped, packed, and delivered to me by Mark and Marilyn. A special thanks to BOMAS for funds raised to purchase our gifts. Also, for my birthday beautiful card thoughts and wishes. Sorry I'm so late with my thank you thoughts. I haven't been well this winter time. Best wishes to all, GB. To the Secretary, Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. Dear Sir or Madam, thank you for my nice birthday card. That was a great surprise. That was my 96th birthday. Continue your good work. Kind regards, PT. To all at Legacy, once again I write to express my thanks for all that you have given me over the years. The kindness, visits, parties, hampers, flowers, and so much more. Please know that I am forever grateful. Faithfully, GW. To the legatees and staff at Central Coast New South Wales Legacy, thank you very much for your birthday wishes. It was very kind of you to remember, and thank you, Bob, for sending that very nice card. I appreciate the thoughtful things you all do for us all. With best wishes to all, PK. To legatees and staff at Central Coast New South Wales Legacy, thank you to all for my lovely birthday card. BL. Vale. Dorothy A. Church. Norma Bailey. June Baker. Beverly Brown. Laura Dorman. Wendy Durrant. Gladys Fruin. Joyce Gwynn. Marie Herbert. Marjorie Hunt. June Jepson. Barbara Jones. Vilma Kirkpatrick. Betty Mason. June Miller. Mary Morgan. Beryl O'Rourke, Catherine Kitty Patterson, Coral Pennell, Constance Peterson, Gloria Fair, Lucy Sharp, Dawn Sheriff, Alexandra Turbain, Margaret Wilkinson. Tread softly, for you walk on my dreams.
Continuing our legacy of care. There is a form provided in the print edition of Chatterbox. At the top of the form, there are two tick boxes if you would like information sent to you about how to help as a Legacy volunteer or how to make a bequest to Legacy. Underneath that, there is a space provided to write the dollar amount of your gift to the Legacy family and tick boxes to indicate whether a check is enclosed or whether you would like Legacy to debit your credit card. There is also a space for your credit card number and to indicate whether your card is Visa, Amex or MasterCard. You are then required to write the name on the card's expiry date, the CVN number, see note, your signature, your address and postcode, and your telephone number. All donations over $2 are tax deductible. Please return this coupon to Brisbane Water, New South Wales, Legacy, Post Office Box 4252, East Gosford, New South Wales, 2250. Note, the CVN number is the number that provides extra security for online payments. It's a 3-digit number on the back of Visa or MasterCard credit cards, or a 4-digit number on the back of an Amex card.
In the garden with Ros Bailey. Hooray for spring! Gardeners rejoice as the soil's warm, the days lengthen, and the garden wakes up. What a miraculous time to engage with Mother Nature, as she puts forth so much energy and growth into gardens everywhere. It's also the best time of the year for those that enjoy visiting gardens of short-lived beauty, like cold climate flowering gardens where timing is of the essence and mass planting is essential for visual impact. This is where one versus thousands is key. Take the humble tulip. One is very pretty, but thousands are jaw-droppingly incredible. Recently, my daughters took me on a surprise outing for my birthday. We ended up at the Southern Highlands Barrel Tulip Festival, and what a spring spectacular it was. Tulips were the stars with incredible colours, mass-planted with other spring bulbs and pansies for a visual feast to the senses. It's always an incredible feat to plan, plant and orchestrate with flowers. But tulips are one of those bulbs that flower precisely the correct amount of days after planting, so long as they've had a big chill. But of course, the weather has so many variables, it must be a stressful wait for festival planners. I've planted many tulips in my day, and yes, they've flowered, but of course never to the levels of a truly cold temperature garden, which I did not have. But of course, gardeners like to have a go at growing things out of their zone, confident that we will be able to coax them into health and vigour. And of course, that rarely happens, which is why it's so enjoyable to visit gardens out of our own climatic zones. Canberra's Floriade and Tulip Tops are also bustling with tourists now, and many of the cold area gardens where daffodils thrive. If you're like me, I've been to many incredible displays in Lura in the Blue Mountains and beyond. But if you're really serious, yes, that's me, you time your holiday to Amsterdam for Keukenhof, home of the tulip, in early to mid-May, for one of the most exceptional spring bulb displays ever. Now, I've dragged my husband to many different gardens around the world on our holidays, but even he marvelled at the scale, colours and sheer beauty as we wandered the paths, each turn a new vision to your senses. As a gardener, I'm always amazed at the work involved of such a short-lived period in the garden, and how those that love and admire bulbs will go to great lengths for their short-lived display and then begin to plan for next year. Sadly, tulips are one of only a few bulbs that only do well for 1 year, exhausting all its power on one incredible display. You can get them to flower again, but most of these spectacular displays are a one-hit wonder and treated like an annual. I'm sure many of you have been to some of these cold climate displays, and if not, I urge you to plan a visit early next spring for a sight to behold and remember.
Announcements and advertisements. Legal appointments available to all enrolled beneficiaries every Tuesday at Legacy Village, 51-57 Masons Parade, Point Frederick. For an appointment, please call the Legacy Office on 4323 4977. Central Coast New South Wales Legacy operates widows' social clubs at a variety of locations across the Central Coast. Our social clubs provide an opportunity for our enrolled beneficiaries to get together for a social catch-up, have a cuppa and a bicky, discuss social events, including regular bus trips, bingo days, morning teas, luncheons and other events that may interest our beneficiaries. Transport can be arranged for our beneficiaries to attend the meetings. Each meeting is attended by our legatee liaison officers and also one of our welfare officers. If you are interested in attending one of our widows' clubs, please contact the Legacy Office on 1800 Legacy, that's 1800 534 229, or 4323 4977. Are you having trouble attending widows' clubs because of mobility or transport reasons? Call the Legacy Office on 4323 4977 for assistance. The Central Coast New South Wales Legacy website is live. Visit us at www.cclegacy.com.au. Marketing and nuisance calls. If you feel you're getting too many marketing or nuisance calls, you can contact the Do Not Call Register on 1300 792 958 or go to donotcall.gov.au. Some organisations that have your consent or are exempt may still call you occasionally. Creighton's Funeral Service, caring for you and your loved ones since 1843. Greenway Chapel and Memorial Gardens and Palmdale Lawn Cemetery and Memorial Park. Lock in the price today with a prepaid memorial site and funeral plan. Ask us how on our 24/7 care line, 1300 130 955. Creightonsfuneralservice.com.au. Contact details. Editorial Committee, Editor, David Ferry, 0401 715 184. Members, Mark Gattenhoff, David Harris. Legacy Executive, President, Bob Lowry, 0407 911 390. Vice President, Jenny Bouchier, 0411 198 483. Legacy Village, 51-57 Masons Parade, Point Frederick. Phone 02-4323-4977. Fax 02-4323-4458. Email legacy at cclegacy.com.au. Next issue, 107. Copy deadline is Monday, the 20th of February, 2026. Publishing and Copyright Statement. Chatterbox is copyright Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. Reproduction in whole or in part is prohibited without prior written consent from Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. All rights reserved. Central Coast New South Wales Legacy does not warrant that the information available in this magazine is accurate, complete, or current. Opinions expressed are those of the respective authors and not necessarily those of Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. Closing announcement. This concludes the recording of Legacy Chatterbox, issue number 106 for December 2025, from Legacy Central Coast, New South Wales. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Division Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken based on this recording, nor for any error, omission, or incorrect pronunciation. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting, or public performance is permitted.